Blog Talk Radio.
Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains is a show that will break generational curses that are holding our youth and families in bondage. It's freedom time.
Freedom time.
You're now listening to Breaking Chains with your host, Minister Roderick Williams.
God bless you all in the name of the Son, Jesus the Christ. Good evening and welcome to Breaking Chains. This is Brothers Talking on a Thursday night. I'm going to hang out with you before we get it started. Apostle Gann, can you open up with prayer, please, so we can get our evening started off with the great fresh bang of a season, because we got to kick it off real serious. Amen.
Glory to God. This is a day that the Lord has made, so we ought to rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. Father God, we give you all the glory. Father God, we give you all the praise. Father God, we exalt you above measure. We ask that you send forth this word with power. And we ask, O Heavenly Father, that men may be saved and their eyes may be opened as your word go forth. In the name of Yahshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Time to suit up. Put your full armor of God on, from your crown of your head to your soles of your feet. It's time to jump in. Let's get serious. It's time to turn it up. It's Breaking Chains right here on YAT Radio. Let's go.
Breakthrough. Looking for my breakthrough. My breakthrough. Looking for my breakthrough.
You know the Bible says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So you know what I'ma do? I'ma keep on pressing.
Cause I refuse to.
I'm a step and press, you know what I'm talking about.
I refuse to.
Cause I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah, let's get it.
Cause I refuse to let the devil steal my joy.
Yeah.
I refuse to let the devil sing my praise.
Nah.
I'ma lift him up if only with my voice. And if you agree with me, then let me hear you say.
Depression that taught me a lesson to keep looking up,
yeah.
Don't go weary in your well doing, just keep on pursuing even though it might get rough,
yeah.
The devil ain't stopping because we're sleeping, he's steady creeping and seeking a way to make us fall. So I encourage you to be strong in the Lord, battle with the sword and always stand tall,
yeah.
Might got Joseph in it, but God can get you out of it. His grace and mercy will grant you a way of escape about it.
Yeah.
It ain't no doubt about it.
No.
That's why I'm running for him like I'm power talking. Look, I love him for real. It ain't nothing for me to cut out and run up in here. I'm falling in love with Christ like the one pushed me off a pill. He's my mighty battle last, so I ain't got nothing to fear.
Hey.
Don't need no mattress, I'm a smoking in here.
Hey.
Yeah.
I refuse to let the devil steal my joy. The devil sing my praise.
Nah.
I'ma lift him up if only with my voice. And if you agree with me, then let me hear you say.
Just look unto the hills and begin to give him the praise. Don't stay down in depression.
No.
Count it joy and temptation.
Yeah.
Stage 1 and 3, read the trying of your faith, broke your patience. Patience to overcome,
yeah.
Patience to run this race.
Yeah.
Patience to stand on his word, trust him and keep the faith.
Yeah.
So let us stand united, the devil want us divided. Each of us have purpose, together we make us a body. I'ma give it my all,
yeah.
That's the end of discussion. I represent G-O-N and that stands for God or nothing.
Hey.
So let me encourage you to do all you can do. Stay humble and committed, allow the spirit to work through you.
Yeah.
The trouble's on the way, that's something you can't afford.
No.
I tell you, I'ma be strong in the Lord.
Cause I refuse to let the devil steal my joy.
Yeah.
I refuse to let the devil sing my praise.
No.
I'ma lift him up if only with my voice. And if you agree with me, then let me hear you say.
Oh,
devil sing my praise. I'ma lift them up, it's only with my voice. And if you agree with me, then let me hear you say.
Chains, brothers talking, that's my man Drew Tony. He said that's a battle cry. He don't hear you. We don't hear you. So, you know, we got to send out the battle cry. So you got to let the enemy know that the army's on the way. God's army is on the way. Oh, you got to be serious about this thing. Good evening. Welcome back. 858-357-9137 live streaming at www.blogtalkradio.com/YET Radio. How you doing there, Apostle? Good evening, sir. How are you doing out there in the GA?
Glory to God. It's a rainy day, but, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored. Glory
Amen.
To God. Happy to be
Amen.
Here.
Amen. Amen. We give God all the glory for that. I tell you, Apostle, we're going to just jump right on in. Men come together on Thursday night, the Mighty Men of Valor, and it takes courage to talk about some things. Sometimes it takes courage these days for men to stand up and actually stand on what's right. And because everything that's supposed to be right, they're trying to make wrong. And what's wrong, they're trying to make right in society. And we have to stand up and be real men of God and stand on sound doctrine of God. And because in Genesis 1 and 26, 27 and 28 there, when he created man and woman, we have to go back to the basics. We've been talking about that. And I want to start right there because we brought up something last week. And I know we ruffled some feathers, especially with some of our sisters out there. But you got to understand. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to follow after God and accept Christ in your life and be led of the Holy Spirit, you have to follow God's order. The world's order ain't got nothing to do with you no more. And we talked about it. I've spoken it from the pulpit that one letter, that letter L separates the world from the world, the word from the world, that letter L. You pull that L out, you got the word. You put that L in, you got the world. So you have to make a decision on what you're going to do. You're going to either run with the world or you're going to run with God. You know what I'm saying? And we men of God. So we run with the Most High. And tonight I want to step into something because I got through a few classmates that are dealing with some serious health issues right now. A couple of them battling cancer. Brothers. It's something I had a conversation with another Pastor Tracy today, who's been on the show with us, and there was a conversation that was brought up about pride. And I want to start this conversation off tonight about pride, a man's pride. And that's something that we don't talk about a lot. And we let our pride get in the way of a lot of things in a man's life. And I think this is just me. Can't speak with any other man. I think a lot of things that a man goes through in life and that comes up through that genetic chain, through the genetic buildup, all the way back, has done a lot of damage to the man's pride, where he feels that he has to always prove that he is a man. That he's not sensitive, that he doesn't always has to show his emotions and his feelings. And we don't want to go to the doctor. We don't want to ask for help all the time. We don't want to say when we're not feeling good. I'm guilty of that. I go to the doctor, but if I'm feeling a certain way, my favorite line is, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Our pride gets in the way because we have to be the strongest one. We got to be strong for our family, our children, everybody around us. And then here's the thing too. Being pastors, being bishops, being preachers, leaders in the community, that plays a major role in it too, because all eyes are on you. So Apostle, how do men need to learn to deal with that? Because there are a lot of men that are dealing with that today. and don't know how to deal with it. There's some that are godly and know that we're supposed to give it over to the Lord, but we still kind of fight with it. And then there are those that are not saved and don't know the Lord and just totally don't know how to deal with it. So, Apostle, what do we tell our brothers out there today about how to overcome and how to start facing this issue?
Glory to God. Well, there's an old song that we used to sing in the Baptist church, and it says, "Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord." You know, we're going to have to stand on the word of God. You know, there's a, as we look at this, and if you really want to get deep into it, you know, by our faith, by us walking in faith, there's a line that divides us from the world. As you were saying, you know, we're walking in the Word, so there's a division between the Word of God and the world. Okay, what am I saying? I'm saying that according to faith, we call those things to be not as though they were. And I'm answering your question now. How do we deal with pride? I'm going to say it may be a little bit more than pride. Okay, the Word of God says that by faith, you know, faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Even if the doctor diagnosed that sickness is in our body, we are saying it is not. We're calling those things to be not as though they were. And we're calling those things that are as though they are not. By our faith, we activate our faith to fight against that sickness or that disease that's in our body. And by faith, we claim our healing. We claim our deliverance. So it's not that we're a double-minded man, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But it's because that we would rather believe God more than the symptoms that we see in our body. All right, I'll kick it back to you.
Okay.
Glory
so,
to God.
My God. So here's something. You talked about that faith. That's a problem in itself right there. And if the man lacks faith, if the man lacks faith, he has nothing to believe in himself. But you know, it was something that we talked about last night, and I'm gonna get back to the faith. I'm gonna talk about something that we brought up and talked about last night, that love. Because the love is very important. Men have to learn to love themselves. And in order to love yourself, just like we said last night, you have to have that relationship with God and love God. You know what I'm saying? And God says, and I'm going to paraphrase this, God says that, you know what I'm saying, how is it that you say you love me and you don't love your brothers? You know what I'm saying? You don't love the people that you see every day, your brothers who you see every day. So we treat each other down here as if that we're strangers. We don't see each other with disrespect, with anger, frustration, everything. And then we say we love God. We go in his house on the weekends and we say we're praying to him, but we show no love. So all of it is hypocritical. It's all hypocritical because it's not real. It's not the truth. So our faith, when we talk about our faith, the faith is size of a mustard seed. The mustard seed is like the smallest seed that you can plant. But when it planted, grows to be one of the biggest trees that can grow. So it's amazing that God only asks for faith the size of a mustard seed, but a seed that grows one of the largest trees. So what is it about us as men that we are the strongest? We grow to be the strongest, just like a seed, that mustard seed. He had brought us into the world to be, you know what I'm saying, dominion and rule and to provide and to protect. But our pride, pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's God's word. So there's nothing good about pride. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. Boasting for pride is not good for anybody. Being proud of a child is different. So let's not get that misunderstood. Okay, being proud of someone graduating, or proud of a child being brought into a world, or proud of something like that is different. But when you are prideful and having an egotistical mindset that I'm too strong and I'm a man, I don't deal like that, I don't have feelings, I'm macho, I don't have emotions, you know what I'm saying? I don't get upset, I don't deal like that, you know? That is very destructive, not only for yourself, but for your families. You know what I'm saying? For your children, for your community. Because then you're putting out this spirit that is not healthy for anybody, that can train up your sons to be the same way. Train up a child in ways you go, and when he's older, will not depart from it. So if that's what your son is seeing, that's what your son will turn out to be as well. So Apostle, we saw, and you are older than I am, so you saw a lot of, and I saw a lot of this too, where we had a lot of parents, grandparents that was very involved in the community, and you couldn't walk down the street and get in trouble because, you know, by the time you got home, everybody knew about it, you got in trouble some more. So where did that go? What happened to that? When these generations changed over and everything happened, what happened to our men to keep that order and control? What happened, Apostle?
Well, what happened was the breakdown of the family and the breakdown of the church. In the 1950s, and when we were achieving most of our civil rights goals, and when the voice of Black America was being heard around the world, the enemies, what I call the powers to be, you know, they came up with a strategy to stop that. They had to do, they had to break down the family, and they had to break down the strength of the church, because the church, under the church, like organization like the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, you know, the NAACP, you know, all of these SNCC, all of these different organizations came together across the country, but the church was the axis. The church was the foundation from which all of these organizations stood on. So they launched an attack against the church, and as you see what's going on now with the faith-based initiative, with when they organized the March on Washington, they paid the churches so much money, they paid the organizations so much money to break the backs of these institutions. Not only that, they targeted the Black family with welfare and welfare laws that you know, and what we call today, the project. They launched the project against us. Yes, it was actual. It was an actual project. That's why we called them the housing development units. We called them the projects because we were actually part of a 40-year project. And it's called the Rat Project. And you can look this up online. I invite you to research it. It's called the Rat Project. And what they did is basically they put a bunch of rats in the same place at the same time. They gave them all the food they can eat. They gave them all the water they can drink. But they confined them to confined living quarters. Okay? And what happened is phenomenal. How the rats began to run in packs, how the rats began to devour one another, how the rats began to kill each other, how the rats began to take advantage of the food and the water. You know, everything that happened to us in the project is the same thing that happened to those rats in the Rat Project. And this is what they actually did to us. They launched a 40-year project, a 40-year housing project, to wipe out the black family. And what that did, it removed the black male from the head of the household because they could get the benefits as long as there was not a man in the house. And I remember my auntie and them taking my uncle and them clothes and putting them out in the woods when the welfare lady would come, and she would walk through the house and inspect the house to see if that any razor blades or any shaving cream or any signs of a man being there. So it removed the black father,
wow.
black fatherhood. It removed the black fatherhood from the head of the house, and it put the woman in charge of the family and the children, just like in the Rat Project. The mother began to try to protect the children, and the next thing you know, guess what the children did? The children turned on the mother. And here's what we find. They actually did a 40-year project on us, and we even call them the project. This is what happened to black America. This is why we should be in the world courts right now suing America for the atrocities that they've done to black America. Not only did you keep us in slavery 200 years, not only did we endure 120 years of separate but equal law, but you conducted the project on us, on a people to annihilate them. All right, I'll flip it back to you, my brother.
My God. And that's, those are facts. And you bringing that up, though, Apostle, I tell you.
I lived through it, bro. I know you did.
I know it.
I know it. I was there when they created the project. Go ahead.
No. And you saying that, though, that brings me to my next comment. That tells me that you saying that, see, those are teaching moments. And what that says to me is that our people are not taking the time to learn our history, not only where we started from, because we didn't start at that point right there. They broke us down to that point right there because of our elevation where God had brought us to, because he had us. We were kings and queens. You know what I'm saying? We were wealthy. We ran the world. So they had to.
Mr. Rod, let me throw this in there. What people don't realize is that act of slavery that happened to our people, that was an act of war. We were prisoners of war, not slaves. We were enslaved, but we were prisoners of war, forced into slavery. Okay, forced into these activities that we see.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That makes the difference between you know, any other slavery in the world or anything like that, because we had a more crueler act of slavery, and that was an act of war. All right, bro. I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw that in there because people seem to forget that these things happened to us, happened to our people. And not for just 30 years or 40 years, no. For more than 400 years, we've been enduring these things.
Absolutely.
All right, bro. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And what I was saying was that the history that needs to be taught but also learned of our people is very crucial at this time, because if you know where you come from in those down times, but then you know what you were created from and what you had and what your ancestors brought you from and fought for and all these things, you know, why would you be at this point right here to be seeing yourself going backwards? You know what I'm saying? It's like the children of Israel still going around in the desert in circles, you know, and I pulled up this scripture right here because this is what I see and feel that's going on in society right now with our people. Galatians 1 and 10, where it says, For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. See, we don't try to serve men, but there are so many out here trying to please society and try to fit into society and not worrying about trying to be a part of the kingdom of God. See, you know, when God tells us in the scriptures to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all else will be added to you, I think that that's something that a lot of people don't fully understand. See, we serve a jealous God. He said that you should have no other God before me. So, see, we made these cell phones, these every electronic, everything out here in the world, a God. We worship it. We have, every time you see people that got, it's amazing how people, you know, folks should have neck problems that their head is always down looking at their telephones. Everybody got their phones, you know what I'm saying? That's where everything is flying by everybody. Everybody's missing things. You know what I'm saying? You're not paying attention to your health. You're not paying attention to your family. You're not paying you behind schedule on everything. You got your mind focused on everything. And then when it's brought to your attention, you want to cuss people out. You want to have an attitude. You want to always go to the negative because you in the wrong. But the scripture also talks about rebuke, reproof, and exhortation. So you know what I'm saying? When somebody has a right to come to you and tell you that you in the wrong, because let me tell you something now. Back in the old school days, and I can speak in my days, you know, you do somebody wrong, they're going to come to you and check you. So it's worse in some areas now, but we as men got to stand up and be real men. And you got to decide what it is to you, what a man is. What is a real man to you? What is a man to you? And that's something that you had going on, and we got so far away from it, and we really need to get back to that, what God described and put together on earth for the man. And Apostle, I'm going to come back to you. When we look at real men, what is a real man? A real man. What describe a real man, Apostle.
Glory to God. You know, when we look at a man, you know, I have to look at the words that solidifies what a man is. A man is a protector. Okay, and I'm gonna use just those P words. He's a provider. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And he's the power that's behind the creation of the family. See, God, we are the only entity in the world that God gave us a commandment, and this is what he did. He made us after his own image, and he gave us dominion over the earth, and he told us to go forth to be fruitful and to multiply. And guess what? Subdue it. Subdue the earth. Okay? And this is what our mission is. You know, so when we look at a real man, we're looking at somebody that's going to be a protector for the family, that's going to be a provider for the family, and he's going to be the power. When I say the power, I'm talking about the government. I'm talking about the structure. I'm talking about and giving the authority to the woman that he loves, giving the authority to his sons that are his legacy that are going to continue for him, okay, and then giving the authority to his daughters, okay. Our daughters are very important to us. Why? Because through our daughters, we link other families to our family, okay. You have to have my permission to marry my daughter. Why? Because you are bringing my family into relationship or into covenant with your family. Okay. Now with my sons, they are my lords. They are the masters of my family. Okay. Under me being a man, they've been raised to be a man. When they take a wife, they're bringing that wife under our umbrella. But when we give out our daughters, that's linking us to another family. And my grandfather would not allow it. You could come to him asking for his daughter's hand all you want. He gonna look at your family and say, "No, I'm not gonna link my family with your family." Think about that, Bro Rock. Look at what we're doing. We have been so assimilated into American culture that we have forgotten the culture that God has given us as men. He expects us to be men. Now, because of the, what I call the silent war, black people don't know that they're at war in America, that they are creating vaccines to wipe us out, that they're creating GMO products, GMO foods, meaning that they're putting things in the food that are going to target our DNA, that's going to cause cancer, as we opened up the show with, that's going to cause these debilitating diseases, that's going to cause our men to be sterile, and going to cause sterility in our young women. This is what we are at war in America, and everybody's walking around like they don't even know what's going on. In the military, I had two MOSs. I was a military policeman, and I was a chemical expert, nuclear, biological, chemical warfare. Right now, they are implying biological agents against us to work against our DNA to kill us. Why all of a sudden everybody got diabetes? Why all of a sudden everybody got all these different cancers? Okay? That wasn't in your grandfather's day. That wasn't in your grandmother's day. That wasn't in my grandfather's grandfather's day. But now all of a sudden, you know, we have abortion clinics in every black neighborhood across the nation. They want us to kill us. They want to lynch us in the womb. They ain't lynching us on the tree anymore. They're lynching us right from the womb. So black America, it's time for you to wake up. Yep, and it's time for men. It's time for y'all to be a man. I don't mean just somebody that can lead a woman to the bed. I need somebody that, like the singer said back in the day, that can relate from the head, from out of the bed, that can relate from the head. It's time for y'all to come out of this nonsense, come out of this blindness. We are at a war.
Mm-hmm. You said something there. Now, you said something there, Apostle, because that's real, because I've read that, I've studied that myself, and I've seen that with my own eyes, and I know that that's true fact. They actually had put a date on it by 2030. They want to have a certain number of people on the earth, and a lot of us, they want in the grave. And, you know, people are not paying attention to that. Gentrification is going on. It's not called gentrification. It's called all different kind of words now. Revitalization. You know what I'm saying? To make certain areas all beautiful and pretty, but get your black butt on out the way. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, it's horrible. It's degrading. It's racist. And racism is still strong in America, in this world. And a lot of it is targeted towards your black skin. And, you know, You sit back and still want to. And listen, let me say this. Let me put my little disclaimer in there. We're not racist. We're not bigots. We're men of God. We love God. We serve Christ. He's our Lord and Savior. And we're led of the Holy Spirit. We just want to, we have to tell you the truth. Okay? Simple as that. Simple as that. Because everything they talk about, all you got to do is just open up the Word of God and read it for yourself, because it's there. It's there. One thing about it is, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. You know, what God has said and what he has done, or he has spoken, and he will make it good. It will be come to pass. All of that is going to come to pass right before your eyes. So, you know what I'm saying? You need to prepare yourself for it and be prepared. And you wondering why you're getting sick. It's because they set it up that way. It's planned that way. All of these chemicals that we're putting in our bodies, these medications, it's been set up that way. It's done that way. It's been set up. Okay. It's not, this is not no extraterrestrial stuff that we're talking about. It's real. And we come in and we talk like men and talk about things that are going on around us in our communities, in our families, you know what I'm saying? In our churches, because we need to be teaching things that are going on that will affect your life, your livelihood, your families, your children, your descendants yet to come that you ain't even met yet. You know what I'm saying? So you need to be, you need to get prepared for that. Here's something else, Apostle. We see a lot of human trafficking going on right now. And the unfortunate thing is that when you see a lot of it being broken down, you see a lot of men being at the forefront of these human trafficking rings. And Apostle, why do you think men are going to this area? Because is it really all about the money? What is it really about when it gets into the human trafficking? Because we are in these cities where these highways are, and these ports. Why do you think human trafficking has gotten so bad? Because it's always been there. Well, why has it gotten so bad?
Well, because that's the money. I mean, the money and the power. You know, the money and the power. Okay, and with human trafficking, that's more money than the dope trade. That's more money than the gold trade. Okay, because you're dealing with human bodies. Okay, they can use the women for sexual purposes and make a fortune off of them. Depending on how young they get them, they can make money off of them for the next 30 years. Okay, then when we're talking about human body parts that are being sold today, you know, one organ is worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. For somebody that's on their sick bed, they're willing to pay anything for one more day of life. Okay, so it's a win-win situation, the win-win market for those that have the heart and the tenacity to do it, and it's just going to be a continuation of the prophecy of God, because God said that these things were going to come to pass, that these things were going to be happening, you know, then except that these days would be shortened, you know, even the very leap would fall. So this is the time that we're living in, and human trafficking is the number one. I mean, more than the drug trade or more than anything else, it's the number one trade in the world right now.
I tell you that sin right there. The folks used to say the money was the root of all evil, and they left out the most important word of the whole thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. And, you know, people have fallen in love with money. Money. Money is more important than a life. Money is more important than your own life. And I think that is so pitiful, because, you know what I'm saying, you can get all the money in the world and be so prideful and selfish. And God said to you that it's easier for a camel to jump through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. So you're going to get all this money and you ain't going to heaven anyway. You know what I'm saying? You're going straight to hell because of the way you got it, and then your pride and your selfishness. So, you know what I'm saying? When I was young, it took me a minute to put that thread through that eye of that needle. So just imagine what God said. It's easier for a camel to jump through the eye of that needle than you to get into the kingdom of God. So, you know, it's never too late to reevaluate your life and to repent of your sins. You know, repent. Repentance is the remission of sins. You know what I'm saying? And the repentance needs to take place. I think that there needs to be a revival of repentance in this world today. You know, and we need to shake the devil's doors off his hell. You know what I'm saying? Because people need to fall on their face and repent and just ask God to forgive them and mean that from their hearts. Let me get back to this right here. Men, let's come back to your faith. Your now faith. Your right now faith. whatever the things that you're going through, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? It's no reason for men, and I'm just talking to my brothers right now, the tempers, the attitudes, the frustrations, you know, everything, your emotions. And let me say something like this. A lot of men that were raised in single mother homes, father's not around, a man not around to really show you how to be a man, you have picked up a lot of qualities of your mother because she was the only one there. So I'm not saying that you are your mother, but you picked up some of your mother's qualities unintentionally. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of your emotions come from your mother. You know, some of the ways that you handle things is very about emotions. You know, when I was younger and I had a very bad temper and attitude, that was all about emotions. You know what I'm saying? It's about emotions. When you're younger, you deal with emotions, and then when you're older, you keep them sometimes. You know what I'm saying? When I was a child, I acted as a child, you know, you know what I'm saying? But when you're a man, you're supposed to put childish things away. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes men don't know how to put childish things away, because some men don't know that they are men yet. They physically are men, but mentally and emotionally, they still a child. And sometimes we need to address that. So let's address that right now. Apostle, a lot of men have came up in single parent homes with mom, and seen mom go through a lot of things and picked up on a lot of mom's emotions of how to deal with things. Train up a child the way she go. When he's older, he will not depart from it. So that's what we were trained to see. That's the way we were trained to handle things, and we handle them the same way. It's not the manly way to handle things. So how do we tell our brothers out there listening tonight, Apostle, you being the elder here, sir, how do we get past that about being emotional all the time when it comes to situations, instead of standing up and being manly about the situation, and being not only just manly, but being a man of God about the situation? And I'm going to hear from you first on that, Apostle.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. I've been in the situation, okay, where I sat in the living room in the projects of a young mother, and I was actually mentoring her son. Her sons were young men that were growing up in the projects, but they were exceptional students, and they were exceptional kids because their mother was, she wasn't no joke. I mean, she wasn't no joke. She wasn't playing with them boys. She had like about 9 or 10 children, but she was a good mother to those children. And to make a long story short, one day I was over there, And I watched the little girls, and the little ones came running to the oldest brother, and they were saying, you know, they was hungry, they wanted something to eat, they were coming from outside all excited, sweating, playing, you know, had been playing, and they wanted something to eat. Well, I watched him. He walked to the refrigerator, and he opened up the refrigerator. Glory to God. And when he opened up the refrigerator, there was nothing in there that he could fix them to eat. I mean, don't get me wrong. There was food in there, something that the mother could prepare. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That was going to take some time to cook. But there was nothing in there that he could give his sisters and brothers to eat. And when he looked up at me, I seen that look in his face where he looked to the back door, because right outside the back door was one of the hottest traps. Was one of the hottest traps in Atlanta. And the only thing he had to do was go out there and be a runner for the dope boys. Run and get me this. Or go get them, man. Go get me this. Go get me that. And he would make money to feed his sisters and brothers. So I told him, hey, y'all, let's come on. Y'all, let's go. Let's go. Y'all get in the car. We going to McDonald's. We going up here to go get something to eat. And that's what we did. And I had a long talk with him. He said, man, this is what I deal with every day. He said, mama is out there working, trying to bring the money home, but it ain't enough money. You know, it ain't enough money to do what we got to do. The food stamps is gone by the middle of the month. Okay, so what do we do from there? See, our boys ain't out here selling dope because they want to be bad or they want to be macho. No, they're feeling the necessity. Okay, the first sermon that I preached of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference as a member of the SCLC, they sent me down to Macon to deal with a case where a boy had been badly beaten in handcuffs by police. And it was witnessed by a large group of people who saw this being done. So, of course, the SCLC sends me down here to work this case and to get to the bottom of it. And I got there, and of course, I met with the city officials. I met with the chief of police. I met with all of them, and we got the and we worked out a solution. Okay. But on that Sunday, I was required to go to a service that they was having, and because of this thing, and of course the media was there, and there was a whole lot of newspaper magazines, everybody was there, and I was placed in the position that they would place Dr. King. I would be the last speaker, and as I came to be the last speaker, I came up and I began to speak, and the subject of my sermon was Dope Boys Logic. I told him, I said, yeah, I'm coming to speak to you about Dope Boys Logic. And everybody was shocked because they were like, wait a minute, Dope Boys Logic? What is this? And I started off the sermon with telling them how, a young man gets out of the county jail and he only has $50. He has a choice. He can go buy a pack of cigarettes, he can buy him a box of chicken, and he'll be broke. He'd be broke before nightfall. Or he can take that money, go to one of the other little D-boys, and get him a dub for the $40, meaning he would get $80 worth of dope for the $40. And then he could flip the $80 and come back and get an 80 dub, which would be a dub. It would be $160 for the 80. And then he can come up from there. He can continue to come up. He can continue to come up from there. Before the night's out, he's made $500, okay? And by that time, he's able to, go get him in a hotel room on an extended stay for 2 or 3 weeks. And then the next day, he hits the block again. This time, he gets a ball. He gets a ball of crack cocaine. Well, now he's going to make $300 to $400 off of that ball of crack cocaine. And from there, next thing you know, he goes to the used car dealer. He put down $500 for a used car. He goes and gets him another 3 weeks in the extended stay hotel. And this is Dope Boys Logic. This has been done in the space of 72 hours. Now, how are we going to tell them to go and hit Master Guillermo's clock? Working for $7 an hour over the ability of being able to get out here and change your situation overnight. Dope Boys Logic. So when I went into that thing, I brought it all the way back up to the fact of who are we killing? Who are we hurting? We are hurting ourselves. Because everything that we're doing, we think that we are, a popular rap that we made back in the day was a verse in there where I said, I write a song visualizing my own death, baptized in this wicked world of lust and wealth, crucified eternal flames, and my dream, having visions of my own death, I write a song visualizing my own death. We out here trying to make wealth, but we actually working toward our own death. And this was the subject of that Dope Man's Logic. We are out here literally killing ourselves for money. And so when we're talking about being a man, is that a man? Yes, he's a man because he's willing to take care of his family. He's not doing anything right. You know, selling dope ain't right. You know, carrying a pistol ain't right. Being in a robbing crew is not right. But it's instant cash. I mean, you get a dope sack, and you get a dope sack, then you got to flip that dope sack. You got to have some ability to get out there and move that. But if you get a pistol, that's instant income, meaning that this morning you wake up with $5 in your pocket, you take the pistol, you walk outside the door, you go to the next convenience store, you walk out with $300. That's the instance. That's the difference between the pistol and the dope sack. The pistol brings you extra money. And this is the mentality that our men are seeing. They're seeing this world every day. And how are we going to convince them to go hit that Master Guillermo's clock when he has the ability to turn a dope sack into money, to turn a pistol into money? How are we going to tell our young ladies, who a young 15, 16, 17-year-old girl can go out here and trick with one old man for $300 a pop, sleep with him one time and make $300 and walk out of there. Walk out of there, get her hair and nails done, buy her something to eat, and then she can go and catch another trick. That's $600 she's made in one day. That's the reality of what we're dealing with, and that's the reality of this human trafficking, because there's so much money in the sex trade. There's so much money in using the females to make money that it's an untapped market. It's an untapped market. And our young people, they see this. They know this. So they're listening to us talking about the church, and we're talking about Jesus Christ, and we're talking about all this stuff. But look, a young girl can make $300 a day. How many young men, how many old men you know that's going out here making $300 a day? I'll flip it back to you, Pastor.
And that trade is very serious out there. It's been out there for a very long time. And the thing about it is, Apostle, is that it's getting worse. And I'm just excited about the fact that God has placed me in a position where I can at least throw something out there to hopefully can touch somebody's heart and can get in somebody's brain to say, you know what I'm saying, at least try Christ, you know what I'm saying, before you make that wrong decision. Because I know it's out there. I know it's easy. It's easy to get in. When I was in it, it was easy. It was easy to jump in. It's hard to jump out. You know what I'm saying? Because the money is good. The money is there. You know, but you only killing your community. You're killing yourself. You're killing your family. You're damaging everything around you. So, you know, we have to do better about bringing our community back and doing better things in our community. We are the strongest people on the earth. We are the richest people on the earth. And I'm not going to say richest. I'm going to say rich in spirit and wealthy. And we give our everything to them. You know what I'm saying? Our time, our energy, our money. But we won't invest anything back into our own community. Only thing we want to invest in self is going to get our hair and nails done and want to look fancy and pretty for everybody else and want to outdo each other, always in competition with each other and always playing the crab in the bucket mentality. So, you know, we got to do better about that. And in order to change that, we have to have real men to stand up and do something about that. It's got to be done. And I look at it like this. One man changed the whole world, turned it upside down. His name was Jesus, you know, and he had 12 disciples to go out and work with him. And you know, that's a total of 13 men, you know, and when he left here, he left plenty of apostles and they went out and did a lot of work, and they still working today, because look at us, we working. We on that roll. But then, you know, he gave other assignments to a lot of men and women on this earth, and they went out and they did things. But I think the last man that shook the world up was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And when he shook it up, they murdered him, just like they murdered Jesus. So, you know what I'm saying? They murdered him too. So when men stand up and start shaking things up and turning things around, the enemy doesn't like that. And I think this is the time when it's time for men to come together, real men of God, to come together and lock arms and sharpen each other up and stand up against the enemy, because we're not in a fleshly war. We're in the spiritual warfare. You know what I'm saying? And get on our post and change this thing around, because we got to save our sons. We got to save our daughters, because we got to bring our families back together and our communities back together, or we're going to all deteriorate. And I don't want that to happen on my watch. You know what I'm saying? I can't speak for nobody else. I can only speak for me. You know what I'm saying? Me, this guy right here. And, you know, how everybody else feel about it, that's on them. But as far as me, I don't want that to happen on my watch. And I'm definitely not going to just sit back and keep my mouth closed and thinking everything is all right, because it's not. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Pick up the phone and give us a call, 858-357-9137. Live streaming at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. Hang on, we'll be right back, y'all.
It's Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Call in and join the conversation.
858-357-9137.
Or log on to blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio.
What's happening, homeboy? Yeah, I see you. Standing there struggling with it, right? Everybody struggle with it, but we don't like to talk about it. Well, I'm going to talk about it.
Knowing fully, becoming holy as you pursuing. For all my
all the time, so I work, and I pray, and I do everything I can, just trying to get him both my best, and I swear, and I grind, I used to try to learn that I can't please these people all the time.
I want it here, homeboy, you know what I'm talking about? I see you standing there messing with it, but Philippians 3 for me, baby. I'm pressing in, I'm working to see the Father. Let's look like him, come on.
Let's look like him. You hear me? Hey, welcome back to Breaking Chains. Hey, man, I tell you, that's Tadashi. I work. I press, I sweat, and I grind. That's what men's supposed to do. You got to get tired sometimes to try to please people, man. You better start pleasing Jesus, and because that's what it's all about. And I that leads me to something, and I'm gonna go to this one right here. How about this one? Psalms 139:14. And I brought this one here up. I had to pull this scripture up because as I was listening to that song, it brought back a feeling in my spirit about this scripture here, because you think about, you know, you think about Christ, you think about what you were created to do. You would create you the work that you was put here to do. An apostle said it, to subdue. You have to understand what that word means when you hear that word, subdue. You know what I'm saying? When you're told to subdue something, and when you hear that, I'm about to read the definition of subdue, of what they have out there for you. So you can understand it, because I think that when you're told to subdue something, overcome, bring under control, to manage, you know, but to quieten and to bring under control, to overcome it. Listen, we were told to bring under control everything of this earth. Okay, let me just put it that way. And you have the power and the authority to do it because it was given to you. And I go to Psalms 139:14 because the scripture says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Now 139:15, it continues on and says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. So God knows everything about you. He knows your beginning and your end and everything in between. So that's why he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So if he knows everything about you and everything that you're going to think, what you're going to say, what you're going to do, don't you think it's about time that you start cleaning up your act? Don't you think it's about time for you to fall in place, get in line with God, and start aligning your life up with him? Because, listen, being a dope boy, being a pimp, being on the trade of trafficking, whether it be bodies, human bodies, or drugs, or, you know, whatever it is. You can be a gun runner, whatever it is. One thing about it is that men are leaders in a lot of negative areas, and that's why they are trying to push the woman to be at the forefront in the corporate world. And they're trying to push men to be in the negative world, I should say. I put it that way. And we have to be better at what road that we're going to travel as men. And whether or not we want to run as a young man, talked to Jay that came and gave his life to Christ. He asked me when we spoke, he says to me, so you're telling me, brother, that the devil is the coward and God is the OG. And I told him, yes. So he said that he doesn't want to run with the coward anymore. He want to be down with the OG. So I told him, I say, well, if that's the way you want to accept that, coming from the streets, God is the big OG. He is. He's the capital G-O-D. So you need to make up your mind in your life today who you're going to serve, you know, because you can't serve two gods. Listen, I look at it like this. Here you go. And Apostle, correct me if I'm not saying this right. If you go into church every Sunday and you playing church, you need to stop going in God's house. You need to stay your butt at home. Seriously. Because if you just going there just to be going there to be seen, looking for whatever you're looking for and ain't going there to be fed of the word of God and accepting Christ, stop going. Stop taking your negative spirits there if that's not what you're going there for. If you got ulterior motives now. If you go in there looking for women, you know what I'm saying, because I've heard that before. Oh, man, all the fine women and good-looking women go to church. So you got wrong motives. You got wrong ulterior motives, and you're putting yourself deeper in hell. So my suggestion is stop playing that game. See, people out there, you need to just stop playing with God and stop disrespecting God's people. Those days are over. Let me just inform you of that. You know, when he says in the scriptures, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm, that's real talk. And I'm serious about that. So Apostle, comment on that right there. Am I wrong for saying that? Because a lot of people just playing church.
Glory to God. Well, let me tell you how the old folk told me. They said, boy, you better be careful playing around that muddy creek bank. Because you keep playing around that muddy creek bank, guess what? You're bound to slip up and fall in. You know what? Bruh, if they mess around and come to the house of God when I'm there, and the word of God is coming forth from me that day, you know, they serving to slip on in and fall on into that muddy creek and fall into that muddy creek off that muddy creek bank. You see, because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
And when the man of God brings forth the word of God, lives change. Lives change. Things cannot be the same. For those that reject the word of God, I love it when they reject the word of God. Guess what? The seed has been planted. And the word of God assures us that if we plant the seed, guess what? It's going to grow. And they may not confess Christ right there, right then and there on that day. But when they go into their secret place, when they go home and they go into their bathroom or they go into their bedroom and they're by themselves, that's when that word is going to come alive in them. And for no reason, they'll begin to weep and cry and call on the name of the Lord. And nobody would be there to witness it, or nobody may be there to see it. But believe me, the word of God, once it goes forth, it's going to accomplish what it was sent forth to do. And the only thing we got to do is keep on preaching. The word of God said that we have to be instant, in season and out of season. Preach when they want to hear it, yes, and preach when they don't want to hear it. We got to be consistent in bringing forth the word of God. And that's what changes the world around us. You know, we can take each and every one of our communities by men just being men. If each man just decides to go ahead and be the man in his household, just go ahead and be the man in his household. And if that means, making some changes in his life, then that's what he has to do. And that's what he has to do. He has to make those changes. He has to make those changes. So, bro, you know, as we begin to look at, you know, Black America, okay, we have to realize the fact that the things that are happening to us are not just coincidental, but that there's a planned agenda that's being taken out against us, that we are literally at war in this country. I'm talking about, they made deliberate attempts to break up our families, which they have, but we survived. They flooded our neighborhoods with crack, with drugs, thinking that that would make us fall from the inside out. But guess what? Pastor Ron, we survived it. We survived it. Okay? They tried to influx our neighborhood with all of these opioids, with all of these pills, with all of these mollies, with all of these tablets and everything. But guess what? We survived it. And not only did we survive it, you know, when they tried to flood our communities with HIV and AIDS, guess what? We survived it. And guess what? It spilled it over into their neighborhoods. When it spilled it over into their neighborhoods, like the opioids have done today, now it's no longer a crime. Now it's a an epidemic. Now it's, oh, we need to get help for our children. When they flooded our communities with crack cocaine, they placed us under arrest. They made our communities become a battle zone for drugs and drug enforcement, and it was a literal war in our communities, and it was illegal. It was looked at as something that was bad. But when more and more white kids were being hooked on crack cocaine, then all of a sudden it became a social need. We need to correct this. We need to get care for our kids. Well, you filled up the jails with our kids. You filled up the jail for our kids. You gave them three strikes, you out. You gave them maximum sentencing. You know, that if they didn't take that plea, if they took it to trial, you gave them 20 years for drug cases. Okay? We are at war in America. And until Black America wake up and see that we are at war, then we're going to forever be the casualties of this war. I'll flip it back to you.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. That's real talk. And it's been going on a long time. And everything that they spoke against us is backfiring on them. That's not to say anything negative towards anybody, but that's just the truth. The power of the tongue is very dangerous. You can speak life and death out of the same mouth, with the same tongue. And the problem is that much has been spoken up against us that is backfiring on everybody that spoke up against us. The Lord said that he would prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. That table is being prepared. And, things are getting rough, but things are not always just getting rough for us. You choose to keep yourself in situations, and you have to learn to remove yourself from situations. And, it takes time, but you have to be willing. You have to be a willing participant to take it to the Lord and just leave it there. You hear the old saying, easier said than done. Well, you need to work on it and get it done. And there are people out here that are willing to work with you. There are people around you that are willing to pray with you, and you need to make sure that you get that done. And we're some of them right here. We're here on a weekly basis, and we're prayer warriors. We got prayer warriors on our team, and we're just a unit of God's people that come together and talk the truth, sound doctrine, and pray together. Two or more gathered in his name, he is definitely in the midst. We wanted to come together tonight and just talk about the brothers for a minute, and let's bring some unity back together in our families. But most importantly, let's help our men get back on their feet. I'm gonna make my final statement by saying this, because we're gonna get off the air some to 10 now. And before I say this, Apostle Gann is coming on this Saturday. He got a power hour coming up, Breaking Chains, with this Saturday afternoon, 2:00 Central Standard Time. And he will be doing his first show on this Saturday. Apostle, if you don't mind, before we put in our final comments, can you tell them about the show coming up this Saturday, please?
Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, the word of God is the key to the whole situation. And Saturday is a key day. That's the seventh day. And guess what? This broadcast is coming to you on November the 7th, meaning that we are lined up with the numerology of God, that this word is going forth with power and with dominion and with the authority of the numerology of God. This word is going forth on the seventh day. It's not an accident that this word came to you on the seventh. That was the plan of God. And when you see the numerology of God, it's all around you. Okay, you just have to pay attention. Church of the Living God, this is the first thing that you should learn as becoming Christian. But unfortunately, it will probably be the last thing that you learn. But it's going to change your life dramatically as you begin to walk in the patterns of God. And this Saturday is what we're talking about. We're going to walk through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to go through the Word of God and show you the prophecies of God and show you what God is saying to His church today. And church, we got to realize that we are the ambassadors of Christ, meaning that we are the representatives of Christ, and we are the only Bible that the sinners may read is your life. All right. I'll flip it back to you. This is Young Adult Talk Radio, and we're going to come to you. We're going to keep it live. That's the way we're going to bring it to you.
Amen. That's the way it's going to come at you, just like that.
Yeah.
So this Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, is going to be our first time doing the Saturday afternoon Bible study on the Sabbath day. How about that?
Amen. Amen.
On the Sabbath day. And some of y'all didn't even know that. So we probably just blew the top off of your heads then. You'd be like, it's the Sabbath day, it's Sunday. No, I beg to differ. that's not the truth. So, but anyway, join us this Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. I know you're saying college football going to be on, all that. Okay, that's cool. You know, but we'll be on here with our hour of power. And bringing you our first Saturday afternoon Bible study. So tune in. So let me give you my final comment. Listen to me. We're in our we're in some trying times, and you know, we don't know the second, the minute, the hour, nor the day when Christ will return. And you just need to be prepared. And you need to choose the God that you're going to serve. And once you make the decision where you want to be, that's where you need to be. And if you're going to come on in to the Lord and you confused about it, just keep listening. Find you somebody around you, wherever country you in, whatever city, state, wherever you are, someone that is full of the Holy Ghost, that accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior to help walk you to Him and show you the light of Christ. You know, don't continue to stay out there in darkness and in the cold by yourself. And I'm definitely talking to my brothers out there. Don't let your pride run your life and ruin your life and stay out there all by yourself like you just so strong that you can handle it all by yourself. Because the scriptures say we look to the hills from which coming our help, and we know our help come from the Lord. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, we can't do nothing without Him, nothing. We can't even live without Him because He can take your breath away at any second. You know, He puts the breath in your body. So all I'm saying to you, brothers and even sisters out there, you know, give your life to Christ. Turn your life over to the Lord. And let Him order your footsteps. You know what I'm saying? Let Him put His hedge of protection around you. And let Him guide you. And put on your full armor of God. And if you don't know who God is and you haven't accepted Christ, before we sign off, Apostle Gann is going to open up and he's gonna walk you to Christ. And we're going to start doing that every night. We're going to start opening it up and just giving out that prayer to you. And we're going to let the apostle do that every night that we're on. So he can introduce you to Christ. And he's going to say this prayer over the line. So, because we don't know where you are out there. And wherever you are, you can accept Christ in your life, and your life can be changed instantly. And we want that for you. God wants that for you. He wants no man, no woman to perish, no one. He said he wants you to choose life over death. And he pushes you towards life more than death. He wants no one to perish. So we encourage you on tonight to get your life together. Get your house in order. And that's you. Get on the right track. James Brown used to say, get on the good foot, you know, and just get on the right path. Get on the right track. You know, money is good. Ain't nothing wrong with making money. But you know what I'm saying? If you want to make some money, you don't want to go and clock in on Master's Clock, Mr. Charlie. You know what I'm saying? That's all good. Start your own business. Get your own incorporation. You can start with one person and grow from there. That's what we did. So why don't you do it? Start your ministry. Do something. You want start a business. Start making your own money. Start cutting grass. Start a lawn service. Start a car wash. Start something. Invest in yourself. You are somebody. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. And, you know, start over and get going. Let's go. All right, we here for you. We got your back. We praying for you in the name of Jesus. We love you. Go ahead, Apostle.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Those of you that are hearing my voice right now, the Word of God said that if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and continue in His Word, the Word of God said, then you become His disciple indeed. Then you become His follower indeed. Father God, hallowed be Thy name. Let Thy kingdom come. Let Thy will be done in the lives of everyone that is hearing My voice right now. They confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They receive Him into their heart right now. Father God, right now we break every chain, we break every yoke, we break every shackle, we break every spiritual bound against them. Right now we set them free and we cover them in the blood of the Lamb. Right now, in the name of Joshua, your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And thank God.
Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. We pray that everybody receive that. We stand in agreement with you in the spirit wherever you are. Say what two or more gathered, He is in the midst. So we love you. God bless you. And we're going to get out of here. Don't forget about us this Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Put it on your calendar. We're going to be right here with Bible study, the first one from the Breaking Chains. And we're going to have some fun in the Lord. All right. Have yourself a wonderful night. God bless you. We love you. It's Thistle.
Yeah. I know life can get crazy, man. And it seems like sometimes you're just fighting to make it through the night. It don't seem like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But trust me, I done been in the dark, and now I see the light. Joy coming in the morning, baby.
We've been through the night, but it's all right. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. It's anger's for a moment. It's favor lasts forever. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Oh,
I can see the tears falling from your eyes. Nobody knows the pain that you feel inside. Those nights that you wish you could just die. Those days that you hate that you still alive. I feel your pain. It's like you're drowning in the sea of pain. You look up at the sky, all you see is rain.
It's raining.
Trying everything, but it never changed. Working so hard, but it stay the same.
I know you hurt.
I know somebody who can change it all. He wanna talk to you, waiting on you to call. And he been walking with you, baby, through it all. And he's there to catch you every time you fall.
His name's Jesus.
I know that this can be a hard life.
I know it can.
You just trying to fight and make it through the night. Keep fighting.
But trust me, baby, joy coming with the light.
It's coming.
You send me here to tell you it's gonna be alright.
We
it's
alright. It's alright. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes.
away. Inside, she wished that it could end today. I feel your pain. I'm in a room with tears in her eyes. It's dark, and they don't hear a silent cry. Her heart is torn to pieces deep inside. But I'm praying that baby girl gon' be okay.
Go walk with me. Let me take you to someone can change it all. All that pain that you feel, my, he felt it all. Cause he been walking with you, baby, through it all. And he wanna talk to you, you just gotta call.
His name is Jesus.
I know that this can be a hard life.
I know
you're fighting just to make it through the night.
Keep fighting.
But trust me, baby, joy coming with the light.
It's coming.
He sent me here to tell you it's gonna be alright.
It's alright.
Yeah.
It's alright. Joy comes in the morning.
Comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Pain just for a moment.
Pain only for a moment.
Favor lasts forever.
Favor gonna last eternity.
Joy comes in the morning.
Coming.
Joy comes in the morning.
Want to get involved?
Got comments or suggestions?
Let us know right here at YAT Radio. Email us at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. Call us at 858-357-9137. Or write us at YAT, Post Office Box 361-308, Decatur, Georgia 30036.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.